Would you bow with me as we pray together this morning, Father God, as we pause this morning, we pause to thank you for Resurrection Sunday. Father, for 2,000 years, this world has had an opportunity to know you in a personal way. And God, today, as we pause on this day, to remember, to be reminded that Easter is every day in the heart and the life of Christians all over the world. And Father God, as we pause this morning, thank you for this host of people that have come today on this Resurrection Sunday, O God, to worship together in spirit and in truth. I pray, O God, you would speak to our hearts this day. And Father, whenever we drive away in a little while, we can say, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Father, thank you because you are the resurrection and life. And he that believes in you will live forever. And Father, we praise you and we thank you in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. God bless you for being here this morning. In the book of Luke, chapter 24, verses 1 through 8, all of the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, record the story of the resurrection. Luke tells us in chapter 24, verses 1 through 8, now on the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they and certain other women with them came to the tomb, bringing the spices which they had prepared. But they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. Then they went in and did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. And it happened, as they were greatly perplexed about this, that behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. Then as they were afraid and bowed their faces to the earth, they said to them, why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here, but is risen. Remember how he spoke to you when he was still in Galilee, saying, the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified and rise the third day. And they remembered his words. Let me tell you, this morning, on this Easter Sunday morning, Resurrection Sunday, April the 9th, 2023, this Easter Sunday, and what it represents in the hearts and lives of Christians all over the world is the bedrock on which Christianity stands. You see, it's that pivotal moment in Scripture about the Christian faith. Resurrection Sunday was the most defining moment in all of human history. It's what has changed the world forever. Now, when you and I think about Easter, and we think about the fun things with kids and the Easter egg hunts and the bunnies and all of those things, I want you to know those certainly will be observed both yesterday and today. But Easter is way beyond any of those things. You see, Easter's not a made-up story that was put together by smart people for you and me to believe. I choose by faith to believe that the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ is a fact. You see, some 2,000 years ago, there in Jerusalem, when the tomb was empty on that Sunday morning, and while you and I in the 21st century are living in what is termed by many as a post-Christian culture. Every time I read that, every time I hear that, I say, God forbid and perish that thought. But unfortunately, that seems to be the way the world is leaning. And as I look at our own nation, I see that as well. Let me tell you, the Bible and Christianity is being challenged like no other time in all of human history. And the hope of this entire world is the resurrected Christ in whom you and I celebrate this morning on Resurrection Day. Would you give the Lord a big hand this morning? This is all about him. This is not about you and me. I want to give you some things this morning. You can follow along in your bulletin if you would like. I've listed the points there. But I want to give you about five reasons why I choose to believe the Easter story and the importance of the resurrected Christ. First of all, if we looked at the empty tomb, not only does the Bible record this world-changing event in all of human history, but also those early followers of Christ, they claimed that Christ was risen from the dead. Let me tell you, the fact is, for all the cynicism, for all of the skepticism, for all of the atheists in the world today, for all of the agnostics who say, well, I don't know if there's a God or not, let me tell you, many of them look upon Christianity and they do not believe in the resurrected Christ. I was reading just this past week, Stephen Hawking, young people, you will remember, he was a great scientist. He's now deceased. He was stricken with MS, and he was huge on the facts of science. This is what he was asked. Hawking's views on the afterlife were similarly grounded in science. Hawking believed that the concept of an afterlife was nothing more than wishful thinking in his final book. No one created the universe and no one directs our fate. This leads me to profound realization. There's probably no heaven and no afterlife either. I think belief in an afterlife is just wishful thinking. There's no reliable evidence for it, and it flies in the face of everything we know in science. Hawking does not dismiss anyone else's belief, but he says we're free to believe what we want to, and he said it's my view that the simplest explanation is there is no God. Can you only imagine? When he closed his eyes in physical death to wind up in a place that the Bible says is everlasting fire and brimstone and eternal separation from the great Creator God who created all of the scientific things and all of the physics of science that he had studied. You see, Hawking was saying, I cannot believe in something that is not science. Folks, I want you to know this morning, Christianity is all about our faith. Something we have not seen, but something we know is true. Something we know that is real. And let me tell you this morning, trust me, of all of these people out there in the world who do not believe in the resurrected Christ, I'm sorry to say, one of these days they're going to be sadly mistaken. The question arises, what happened to the body of Jesus if it wasn't resurrected? Well, some people want to believe that the body was stolen. Well, let me tell you, the disciples certainly didn't steal the body of Jesus. The Roman soldiers couldn't produce the body of Jesus. And so there are people still today, 2,000 years later, that are still looking for the body of Jesus. I want you to know they will not find it because the Bible says, why do you seek the living among the dead? He's not here, he's risen. And folks, let me tell you, that's something to say amen about this morning. Amen. Let me tell you, no one has ever been able to find the body of Jesus. You could find Muhammad's body if you went to Medina. You could find Buddha's body, but you cannot find the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. And when those women got to the tomb on that Easter Sunday morning, very early, the angel said, he is not here, but is risen. Why seek you the living among the dead? This past week, the Christian Post said this. It was on Thursday of this past week. It said, of the five major religions built upon personalities, the only Christianity claims its founder is still alive, having overcome death through resurrection. Let me tell you, I can assure you this morning, a second thing, not only the empty tomb, I mean the authenticity for the resurrected Christ is, what about those eyewitness accounts? many of the witnesses would testify to the fact that they saw the risen Christ after the resurrection. There are at least 10 different sources from both inside and outside the New Testament that confirms and corroborates the post-resurrection appearances of the Lord Jesus Christ. There have been those that have scholars have said that saw Jesus during those next 40 days after the resurrection. Documented fact, Jesus appeared in a crowd to some 500 witnesses at one time. Not only to mention the times that he met with those apostles, the time that he met with the people that were following him, those eyewitnesses accounts. And folks, I want you to know this morning, whenever you consider the skeptics of the biblical Jesus, there's actually far more reliable historical evidence for the life of Jesus, the teachings of Jesus, the miracles and the death and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus than any other historical figure of ancient times. Do you remember Alexander the Great? Maybe you studied him at some point in history. When you consider the authenticity of what people believe about Alexander the Great, did you realize he was born some 350 years before Jesus Christ? And the authenticity of him being a true literal figure is based on two original biographical accounts of his life by Arrian and Plutarch, which were written some 400 years after the death of Alexander the Great. Folks, I want you to know, Jesus was written about just months after the resurrection of the Lord Jesus and right into the first century of Christianity. And let me tell you, if people would believe about Alexander the Great, why on earth would they have a problem believing in what is recorded about the resurrected Christ and those eyewitness accounts of those 10 different appearances in the next 40 days after that resurrection Sunday? There were people that saw him. There were people that touched him. There were people that ate with him, and they lived to tell the story. This morning, I believe in Easter because I believe in the empty tomb. I believe in Easter this morning because I believe by faith in those eyewitness accounts. But thirdly, this morning, I believe in Easter because of the establishment of the church of the Lord Jesus Christ and how it began to grow. I read just this past week, worldwide, there are some 8 billion people presently in this world. 2.2 billion people profess that they know Christ Jesus as their personal Lord and Savior. That would leave some 5.8 billion people that do not profess knowing Christ at all. Let me tell you, the existence of the church and how it began to grow exponentially, how they begin to follow Christ, and how they begin to multiply and go out and tell the good story of the resurrected Christ. Even the most skeptical New Testament scholars admit that the disciples at least believed that they had seen Jesus, that Jesus rose from the dead. So much so that they kept telling the story from that day on. In fact, in the book of Acts, we read in verses 1-4, "Now as they spoke to the people, the priest, the captain of the temple, and the Sadducees came upon them, being greatly disturbed that they taught the people and preached in Jesus the resurrection from the dead. And they laid hands on them and put them in custody until the next day, because it was already evening. However, many of those who heard the word believed, and the number of the men came to be about 500. Let me tell you, if you could resurrect those 500 witnesses today and put them on trial and ask them, were you there? Did you truly see the resurrected Christ? And let me tell you, I can assure you undoubtedly, unashamedly, unapologetically, they would stand, 500 of those witnesses at one time, and would say, I have seen the resurrected Christ. He is not here, for he has risen. Let me tell you, when I think about Easter, when I think about a world today that is ever changing, and I see all of the changes, and I see all of the skepticism, and I am watching the statistical data of how Christianity begins to be waning in the West here in America. It reminds me of those days in Europe, when those cathedrals and those temples and those churches were filled with people. But folks, let me tell you, it wasn't too long until those churches and those cathedrals would be empty all across Europe. They had beautiful, beautiful edifices and structures and stained glass everywhere. But I want you to know, whenever they did away with God, for the most part, let me tell you, the Spirit of the Lord moved out of many of those places. And unfortunately, I worry about America today, young people. I worry about you. I pray for you. I pray, God, put your hedge of protection around these kids, around their minds, because they'll be going off to colleges and universities and various schools, and there's all kinds of secular worldview perspectives out there that is not a biblical worldview. And at every turn of the road, they want to refute the resurrected Christ. Well, let me tell you, there's a fourth reason that I believe by faith in the resurrected Christ. Not only the empty tomb, the body could not be produced anywhere, and for 2,000 years, even though they're still excavating and trying to produce the bones of Jesus, I can assure you they won't. The tomb is empty. The throne in heaven is occupied this morning. Amen. Folks, I want you to know, I believe in the resurrected Christ because of the empty tomb, because of the eyewitness accounts, because of the establishment of his church. Let me tell you, those disciples, after the resurrection and after they had seen Christ and after they had met him, I want you to know they were filled with enthusiasm. They were filled with excitement. Let me tell you, they knew. There wasn't any question of doubt. Jesus Christ, who had stepped out of heaven's glory, God himself, robed in human flesh to come to this earth, to die on a cross, to shed his blood to cover mankind's sins. You see, the only way that you and I, as sinners in the world, could be reconciled to a holy God was for God himself to come to this earth and to robe himself in human flesh and walk among us and to teach and to preach and to perform miracles and then to die on a rugged cross to shed his blood for the satisfaction of sin and to rise victoriously over death, hell, and the grave on that Sunday morning. The Apostle Paul said in his day, as he was preaching to the church at Corinth, he said, and if Christ is not risen, our preaching is empty and your faith is also empty. Let me ask you a question this morning. There are a lot of people this morning that have an empty faith. But I want you to know my faith is firm. It's solidified. It's based on the foundational principles of Christ who came, who died, who rose victorious, who's coming again someday to rule and reign upon this earth. Let me tell you, Easter means new life. Easter means new hope. Easter means a new start. Easter means a new attitude. Easter means a new perspective. Easter means a new identity, a new adventure, a new love. In fact, John said in John chapter 6, verse 39 and 40, this is the will of the Father who sent me, that of all he's given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up at the last day. And then in verse 40, he said, and this is the will of him who sent me, that everyone who sees the Son and believes in him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. Folks, let me tell you this morning, I believe in the resurrected Christ. No one could ever change my opinion on that. For 2,000 years, let me tell you, the church grew. It grew from 12 apostles to another 120. And then on the day of Pentecost, when Peter, who had denied Jesus three times as he went to those trials, let me tell you, Peter would see Christ after the resurrection. He knew beyond a shadow of a doubt that he is, was, and always will be the risen Lord. Let me tell you, when Peter stood up on the day of Pentecost and he preached, Jesus had gone back to heaven. And Jesus said, tarry until I send the promise. Let me tell you, the promise is the Holy Spirit, God, Jesus, through the third person of the Godhead, the Holy Spirit who lives in our hearts. And let me tell you, we are the temple of the Holy Spirit. He dwells with us wherever you and I go. If we know Jesus as our personal Lord and Savior, let me tell you, there's no place we can go that he's not already there when we get there. Let me tell you a last thing this morning and I'm finished. Another reason I believe in the resurrected Christ through faith is, what about not only the enthusiasm of the church as it grew, as it exploded on that day as Peter preached, 3,000 people were added to the church. And from 2,000 years ago, from 12 apostles to 120 to 3,000 on the day of Pentecost to April the 9th, 2023, this morning, 2.2 billion people in this world believe in the resurrected Christ. Folks, I want you to know, I believe also, lastly, because of the execution of those disciples. Let me tell you, those disciples believed in what they saw. They believed in what they heard. They believed in what they experienced. They walked with Jesus. They talked with Jesus. They ate with Jesus after the resurrection. And let me give you these. Do you think those 12 apostles, do you think they would have given their lives for something that was not true? Let me tell you, Andrew, he was crucified. Bartholomew was beaten and crucified. James, the son of Alphaeus, was stoned to death. James, the son of Zebedee, was beheaded. John was exiled for his faith. The one here in the Bible that has written 1st, 2nd, 3rd John, the book of John and the book of Revelation. You see, John was exiled out into the Aegean Sea on an island called Patmos, where he would spend the rest of his life. They failed in their attempt to boil him in a pot of oil, and he lived through that and died of old age. He's the only one of those 12 apostles that didn't die for martyrdom, even though they tried. And then there was another one, Judas, who was not Iscariot. He was stoned to death. Matthew was speared to death with spears. Peter, who preached on that day, 3,000 got saved. Peter was crucified, and he said he did not want to be crucified right side up, but he wanted to be crucified on the cross with his head down because he didn't feel worthy to be crucified as the Lord Jesus. Philip was crucified. Simon was crucified. Thomas, that we refer to as the doubting Thomas, he was speared to death. And then Matthias, who took the place of Judas Iscariot, who sold Jesus for 30 pieces of silver, Judas Iscariot went out and hanged himself. The Bible said he was the son of perdition, and they elected Matthias to take his place, and Matthias was stoned to death. Let me tell you, Fox's Book of Martyrs, where that information comes from, lets you know those apostles believed in the resurrected Christ on that Sunday morning 2 years ago. Let me tell you, I serve a risen Savior. He's in this world today. I know that He's living. Whatever men may say, I see His hand of mercy. I hear His voice of cheer. At just the time I need Him, He's always near. Rejoice, rejoice, O Christian. Lift up your voice and sing eternal hallelujahs to Jesus Christ, the King, the hope of all who seek Him, the help of all who find. None other is so loving, so good, and kind. He lives. He lives, Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me. He talks with me along life's narrow way. He lives, He lives, He lives. You ask me how I know He lives. He lives within my heart. Do you know the risen Christ this morning? Last week I was out at Velma. I was standing in the old Velma Cemetery across from the Baptist Church. I was getting ready to do a funeral service, and the Air Force out of Shepherd Air Force Base, six of them had gathered the honor guard. As I was getting out of my car and I was walking toward the gravesite, I looked out over many tombstones that were there, people I'd known through the years. I looked and there was Doc and Evelyn Ely's grave. There was C.O. Cooksey's grave. I was standing by and I walked over to finish doing this service that I was fixing to do. And I thought about Easter Sunday morning. I thought about today. And as I went back to get in my car, I stooped down at a grave and said, "Oh grave, where is thy sting? Oh death, where is thy sting? Oh grave, where is thy victory?" Folks, I want you to know, I believe this morning in the resurrected Christ, and I believe it by faith. I don't believe it as science. I know that anyone who can put all of what's up there, according to the James Hubble telescope, which they'll never be able to plumb anything, an nth degree, young people, of what God has created. How do I know He lives? He lives in my heart. But I believe by faith, because let me tell you, scientists have to say, if I can't see it, I can't believe it. Folks, let me tell you, I believe it. I may not see it, but I believe it with all of my heart. Christ is alive this morning. And had it not been for the resurrection 2,000 years ago, you and I would not have any purpose whatsoever in life. We would have no purpose in ever meeting as a church. But I believe when 2.2 billion that are presently living, not to mention all of them that have lived since Adam, that believe by faith in a Messiah, a Savior, a Redeemer that's coming back to this earth one of these days. You ask me how I know He lives. He lives within my heart. Would you stand as we pray together? Father God, as we come to this time of invitation, I pray, Lord Jesus, if there's someone today that needs to trust You on this Easter Sunday morning, that they would reach out through faith and receive the resurrected Christ. Father, thank You for Easter. Thank You for that Sunday morning. Thank You for the empty tomb. Thank You that heaven's throne is occupied this morning and You sit there in the heavens. And the Bible says, as You look out over a world, that You laugh whenever You look and see how foolish mankind is. But God, I'm thankful that You are ever interceding on each of our behalf who know You as Christ. What a living hope that we have in a living Christ. Father, speak to someone's heart, I pray this day. If someone needs to trust Jesus, may they just say, "Lord, I'm a sinner
and you died and shed your blood to cover my sins and anyone's who would call upon you. And today, forgive my sin. Come into my heart and life. Jesus, I believe. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.